This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Blonde Bomber, as well as...
By the way, looking good.
I know.
Oh, man, the blonde tips are looking good. It's grown out. You got edged up. Nice fade, by the way.
Man, that was a
looking sharp. Will he cut white guys here?
Yes.
That with a white man's head?
It is. A long, long time coming. Boy, that felt like a long time ago, the start of the end of September when I had this hair dyed blonde. We've made it to the tip stage.
You've acted like you didn't like it for a long time.
Not the fool. This I can kind of work with here a little
bit. You're welcome.
Them
turtle shell glasses he got on match that blonde. I'm telling you, man.
Damn, Tyler.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your intro to...
Self-destruction.
Your big deal intro to 5 o'clock fire. I'm sorry, Bob.
They did finally make the playoffs and get to the divisional round. So it turned out all right. But also T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T and Moneybags. We'll get to that.
Moneybags light.
One for 11. All right. Remember, 5 o'clock fire brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And tonight at Toyota, as we just talked to Brandon Scott, I am sure he is headed that way. Houston and Tyler's favorite son returns. The L.A. Clippers are in town, and that means that James Harden,
which is not good enough,
is in the building. And Henry Toa is going to take the first shot. And for some reason, Tyler erupted in my ear earlier because it is Harry Potter night.
I love Harry Potter. I'm a big Harry Potter fan. I am a, what's wrong?
No, go ahead. There are a lot of Harry Potter fans. Another one I just can't get in. Not the fantasy. Not the fantasy thing. It's Harry Potter night. Like,
Harry Potter's badass, man.
It's interesting. Like, the general crowd that heads to Rockets game in Houston, I can't wait to see what that Harry Potter night looks like.
Probably going to be magical.
In my mind, James Harden coming back to Clippers. This feels like maybe the Megan Thee Stallion night, but I am interested to see if we have a lot of Harry Potter dress ups. In this. Champ Slice Ron doesn't do Harry Potter because there's no black people in it.
No, there is.
I don't know that. I'm just not a fantasy guy.
No, I know. I know you are. I was telling our friend that there is
any of the other Lord of the Rings. Not doing it. No.
I just don't see it. Like, y'all think this is going to be a hit?
I don't.
Oh, Harry Potter night? Oh, yeah. Turn up one time.
Well, I mean, I think important context is Harry Potter night at a Rockets game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said.
I would have got tickets if I knew ahead of time.
With Harden coming back, this feels like more of a Megan Thee Stallion night.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Dressed like Slim Thug night.
I don't know. I wonder how many nightly Rocket attendees, how many of them are really into Harry Potter where they're going?
Everybody loves Harry Potter. Or not everybody, that's inflammatory, but it is, very popular. I'm in Ravenclaw.
Anyway, this you're in Ravenclaw. Like, what would you wear tonight if you were going?
Oh, I wouldn't necessarily dress up. I mean, it's not like it's Star Wars night or anything. But I would enjoy myself. They probably have a lot of cool stuff, and like during timeouts and stuff, maybe some Harry Potter trivia, maybe some Harry Potter tunes.
And I'm telling you, Courtney and my oldest Trey, they be in there. They read Harry Potter every night. It's a bedtime story.
Oh yeah.
And when we go to Disney, those two are amped about going to the Harry Potter spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good on it.
I would have really guessed wrong on that.
Oh, Courtney, big time.
I think y'all should take the house test.
Yeah, she's big. Read them all, and he loves it. They have their little inside jokes about stuff that, you know, we don't have any idea about. Me and Lauren and Nicholas just looking at them like, what? Got any idea.
Kind of like Tyler's up there doing right now.
Yeah, he's doing something right now.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Got it. Yeah, I don't have any references. But this will be a fun one tonight. The Rockets are playing pretty well. I wonder if Fred will be in the lineup. I think he's still maybe out, but they're 7-4 right now, and this feels like a game that they will get up for, and I expect them to get a dub tonight. See if they keep playing. I think this will be fun to watch Zubek, who's a pretty good defender in the middle, to see how Alcindor goes up against him, and to see if Green can continue playing the way he has been playing. So this will be a fun game tonight, as I'm sure the whole place in Toyota Center will be. There might be Quidditch? There might be a game of Quidditch that breaks out at the half.
Yeah,
like they're
going to
do something like that at the
Who's going to catch the snitch?
By the way, how you feel Henry Toatoa shooting the first shot tonight? Joe Mixon nailed it. Laremy Tunsil made it. How you feeling about Henry Toatoa?
Not good.
Comes to an end tonight. He's too much of a bruiser. He's too much of a big body. He's gonna be too robotic. And
I feel like he jumps at the free throw line.
Jump shot. You think he two dribbles and jump? Here's the deal. I
think he jumps.
In my time playing ball, like, I've come across a lot of really good hoopers. I don't know that I've ever come across a linebacker that could hoop. Like a true inside linebacker, not a nickel
Michael
defender.
Parsons can.
That's not a true inside linebacker.
He was until they changed
him. I mean, that's a freak of nature. I'm talking about Henry Toatoa, Azeez Al-Shaair.
Like, you don't think LeVar Arrington
I don't think Devin White's out there hooping.
You don't think LeVar Arrington's got a good post game?
I mean, he's an edge, isn't he? Any more of an edge guy?
No, he's a middle linebacker.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I thought LeVar was more of an outside edge.
Yeah,
Washington. Like a 3-4 edge, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, I don't believe so. You got me, like, how confident you are, you got me shook up in my mind.
Well, he's big enough.
He's an inside linebacker.
He's big enough to where I would think, like, just size-wise, he would probably play more than your stockier built line. Like, I don't think Ray Lewis is hooping.
Nah.
Yeah, but he thinks he can.
I don't think, yeah, well, he thinks, yeah. My, yeah
well, the pregame,
there's no chance that he did.
I just don't think I've ever come across it. I mean, 713-572-416. Anybody out there that played ball coming up, can you think of a middle linebacker? Not a running back or a tight end or somebody that played
middle linebacker.
Like, I'm talking about an inside Cushing. Back off the ball. Yeah, Brian Cushing, Ray Lewis, D'Amico Ryan. Have you ever come across one that could just hoop their ass off and you feel like it's going to get up there and just be wet from the free throw line?
I'd say Brian Urlacher.
I was thinking of him.
He is a freak of nature, though.
He's Brian, a freak. Safety in college, moved to linebacker. Yeah.
He is a freak of nature. Yeah.
Ron, you said you think Toatoa probably jumps with his shot from the free throw line.
It, but I think Henry, I could see Henry jump.
I had to jump from every free throw I took in junior high because I didn't have enough upper body strength to do it as a set shot.
I'd rather shoot air ball.
The only thing that gives Henry Toatoa a chance is
I shoot air ball.
He has a pretty clean lineup, like his edge up.
Yeah,
I mean he is lined up big time, so I mean that gives him a chance, gives him a little bit of hope in my book.
I weighed like 75.
I got a 10%.
Yeah,
I could see Tyler in high school as a freshman having
Luke Kuechly
jumper.
No chance. Luke Kuechly. No.
5 o'clock fire.
Is that kid really in high school?
all right, this is one to watch for the Texans the rest of the way. Shane Steichen and the Indianapolis Colts have no idea what they want to do, so they're benching Joe Flacco after two games, after saying that Joe Flacco is going to be the quarterback the rest of the way. They have benched him and going back to Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson, who got benched against the Texans after two games, he is back and will make the start. I believe they got the Lions this week. They will make the start. He will make the start against the Lions, and they're yo-yoing back and forth. They're a young quarterback who has gotten 10 starts in the league. Do you think this makes the Colts better? Do you think going back to Richardson, because it was not going well for Joe in these last two starts. I mean, I think he's got four or five turnovers himself, yeah, and this time he had three picks in the last game. You think this is better for the Colts? Because obviously the Texans, that's the closest team to them in the division.
Well, I think it's the better option of two bad options. I mean, if you're not going to get good Flacco and you got to go back to Anthony Richardson, the hope there is, I mean, I hope they lose all their games, to be honest with you, but the hope for the quarterback is that he goes in there and he plays a little different style of football. The problem is it needs to be a run first, even with the QB plus one run. It needs to be a run first football team, and you're fixing to play a really good run defense. And so good luck establishing that against the Detroit Lions. The other thing there is as you look at Anthony Richardson, is this two game where you got benched and the embarrassment of it, is it enough for him to understand you can't go rogue and audible to a pass play when you're just trying to kneel the game out ultimately and go to halftime and give up points? You can't tap out of the game and say you're tired kind of crap. Like, did that two game benching, did that at least get the message across to him where he's got to change his approach a little bit? Just that, I think, is a plus. And then you got to play to his strengths, which I don't know. Look, I'm lost with what Indianapolis is trying to do. We talked about it every time the Texans play them. It's like, I don't know how you don't just force feed to an extreme Jonathan Taylor, and they just wouldn't do it.
Well, they, and speaking of that, they did what I was scared of them to do. I know that Texans fans and most people around here, you know, want him to be a bust. I root for these cats to play well. I want to see them all play well, especially a guy with that level of talent. Just for the game, I want to see what that level of talent can be. And you thought he was with the right guy. But they did what I was scared of. They clearly, and you can understand it to a certain extent, but they clearly are erring on the side of, we just don't want to get him hurt anymore. So they don't play, as you said, to his strengths enough. Right? Like there should have been multiple times that he had runs against the Texans in those two games. And I'm talking about called runs, not scrambles.
Agreed.
And they just they're not doing it. And you're gonna understand, it's clear they went in the offseason and said this kid gets hurt, so we're not, and so I just, they're not giving him a chance to play at his best. And we'll see what it is. I thought this would be it, but this going back and forth thing can't be helpful. We'll see how he handles this thing, and it's gonna take a lot on him, but we'll see how he handles it.
Fire.
It's a strange gentleman. Shout out to Jose Altuve, who is the Silver Slugger Award winner. He wins his seventh Silver Slugger Award, which ties him with Ryan Sandberg. Shout out to Ryan Sandberg, who last month, maybe 2 months ago, said that he's cancer-free. So shout out to Ryan Sandberg with that. But Jose Altuve continues to show his greatness as he wins the Silver Slugger Award. And he was really, really good this year, but it wasn't like this is a vintage, one of the top years for him. And ho-hum, he still is the best offensive second baseman in the game. By the way, Yiner Diaz was also up for the catcher position, did not win the Silver Slugger Award, went to Salvador Perez of the Royals, but he was up for it as well, was a finalist, had a great season, and so was Bregman, a finalist, did not win there, but Jose Altuve continued to show his Hall of Fame career.
Love it, man. There's he's one of them cats that, obviously, being an Astro lifer, I'm here for it, but the dude makes it easy to love him, man. Makes it easy to root for him, makes it easy to be in his corner, and any awards, any success he has, man, I'm here for it.
All right, coming up, John Metchie, big-time performance, a performance that this team needed. Are you at a place where you're ready to say, I think John Metchie is ready to fill the void that is missing? Fill the void that is missing with, as we know, at least Stephon Diggs being out. Is he ready to fill the void? for that third receiver for the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I see people texting in. Go ahead and give me your thoughts. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, text in. Last week, we saw John Metchie on Sunday really step up. Are you ready to say that John Metchie is the guy that can step up and fill that void for that third receiver spot? Before we get there, I do want to wish I could give him a hug. I want to apologize on behalf of the sports world to Chris Webber with what he had to deal with last night. As Eric Spoelstra, I don't know if you saw this, Tyler, Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Miami Heat, screwed up, called a timeout at the end of the game when he did not have a timeout left. And, of course, the game was tied. Timeout, that's a technical. You got to shoot a free throw. The Detroit Pistons shot a free throw, made it. And then after that, all night, anybody showed was Chris Webber calling that timeout in the national championship game repeatedly, because whenever someone calls a timeout and they don't have any timeouts left, everybody begins to just bring up the worst day, one of the worst days in Chris Webber's life.
It will not be a good
night.
And
he just keeps showing it. By the way, the best ironic part was that Jalen Rose was in the audience. And Jalen Rose looked like he had a flashback with the face he made. So we got to stop doing that, man. Like, we got to stop. Somebody calls a timeout. We've got to stop going to Chris Webber. It's all night. Yes, it happened.
No, we can't stop.
You got to stop, man.
Can't stop.
You got to, man.
Clint, do people still give you hell at times for the fumble against Tennessee?
But Clint, hold on.
Let C.J. Stroud fumble late in the game against the Cowboys this weekend and the Cowboys win. I will get absolutely flooded with Clint Sterner, C.J. Stroud's Clint
Sterner. Let me ask you this. Miami last year had that stupid fumble against Georgia Tech, where all they had to do was really kneel.
Absolutely.
Did you get flooded? Were they showing it? They didn't show on TV. Oh, if you remember, Clint Sterner, stumble, fumble. They didn't do that to you.
Had it been in a game where both teams were undefeated and had national championship implications, absolutely they would have.
Clint, it could be a local high school. They'll do this to Chris Webber.
No, that's fair. I'm not putting myself on the same level as Chris Webber. But that, yes, I mean, like the craziest thing about like what you're talking about, Ron, is like I would get tagged in people, like, because what people would say that didn't know me or wasn't aware that I was on social media kind of deal in a game like that, so-and-so just pulled a Clint Sterner. Well, somebody would then tag me that knows me, and so it happens behind the scenes. They don't even have the decent common decency to tag me.
Do you think that should be I don't think that should be a technical. Just don't accept it. Just don't give them the timeout. I don't think that should be a technical.
That's a tough way to lose a game, man.
Right? I don't think that should be a tech. No, you don't get a timeout. You just don't get it. Because if you get in trouble to try to call a timeout, like, I'm just going to ignore you. You don't have any.
Again, the adults in the room would mess it up because almost dropped the F-bomb right there. The adults in the room would mess it up because then coaches would do it just to get the stop in action and get the ball outside, you know, on the side.
Or if you're going
to
do that, it would just be a turnover. It would just be a turnover instead of sending.
It doesn't change the score. No, you still got to change. Yeah, good point.
Instead of sending someone to the line.
And giving, yeah, fair. You immediately turn the ball over. The opponent,
if
doesn't
I blow
get
the free, whistle, yeah, it's I just like a that. Turnover, not going to the line.
I like that.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. All right, John Metchie. Do you believe John Metchie can fill that void? Someone come in on the text line. Metchie has been ready. He just had the opportunity to show it. He's only going to get better. Are you in that spot where you think John Metchie is ready to take on the role that is there? It's vacant. It's there for them. Is he ready to take over that role?
Look, I do not in any way, shape, or form think, he, in my opinion, that he's been there. I think he has arrived. I think here's the thing is if we look at John Metchie's, let's just say, the last four opportunities that he's had, I think one was the New York Giants game in the preseason where John Metchie had 6 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown. Targeted 7 times, had 6 catches. I think that game is when to me personally, that's the game where I was like, John Metchie's got a chance. Because that's the game where it was the quick game, it was beating man coverage, it was settling in zones and running the mid-range pass game. It was in that game, it didn't count. The one target that was not a complete pass was a ball that he caught out of bounds on a deep throw. That was an unbelievable catch. He just didn't get his feet down. But we saw John Metchie make multiple plays in that game that, in my opinion, was the first time in real action that you go, okay, this John Metchie kid can go. He's got a chance to live up to the second round draft choice that he was.
You felt that?
I felt like that. That was the first time that I was okay going, okay, maybe he can live up to it. Before, there was nothing. Like a good day at practice with 3 catches and we'd talk about it. Like that's not relative to being a second round pick and playing at the NFL level on Sundays in a regular season game. It means absolutely nothing. Him doing it in that game to that degree, I was like, okay, well, maybe this kid, now he's got a chance. Now let's have the conversation. And then you look at the last 3 weeks, he kind of crept on the scene against, what was it, Indy? Had a couple of catches there against Indy. And then you go to the Jets game.
He had
zero catches, but ran 2 phenomenal routes that would have been completions of 15 to 20 yards. One of them would have been a touchdown that would have changed the game.
But Bobby blew it. So, right.
Bobby screwed that one up, right?
Yeah.
Dang it, Bobby.
You know, you can look at the Green Bay game and you know, the throw to Tank Dell that was incomplete on the sideline that everybody was like, you're short of the sticks. Even if he catches, he's out of bounds. What the hell are we doing? What kind of call is that? John Metchie's on the backside on a post. And if CJ gets back to him, John Metchie is open and has a chance to make that play. So you start looking at the 3 games that ultimately lead to what we saw against Detroit this week. And again, this week, quick game, money. Red zone, money. In traffic, money. I mean, the guy has shown, and I think he's proven, that he deserves more opportunity. And the timing is perfect for the Houston Texans, given the fact that Nico Collins has been out and Steph Diggs is out. And your pass catching tight end is not able to stay on the field because his run blocking is so suspect, right? So now here comes John Metchie. He's showing some promise. You get Nico Collins back. You slide Tank Dell up into that 2 spot where Diggs is. And now John Metchie, I think, is the guy. He's done enough for me. And I've seen enough from John Metchie to give him the run over Woods, over Hutch, definitely over Sims. And trust him in critical situations of the game. So yeah, I think this is the highest I've ever been on John Metchie. Obviously,
yeah, we'll see, because for me it's just they clearly haven't believed it. I mean, hell, he was inactive the first part of the year in games where they chose Woods, they chose Hutch, they chose Sims ahead of him, and really Sims for special teams. But after what he did last week, I think clearly he is going to get an opportunity to get minutes and
the
to get snaps.
Pointed up.
So we'll see, but I need to see a little bit more, because I mean, clearly by the actions, the team has not looked at him on that in that point first.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I want to see some more too, but I'm ready to go ahead and step out there, and it's because John Metchie created opportunities and created space and gave us positive plays in a moment when we needed it. And then you look in that second half against Detroit, there were some opportunities there for Xavier Hutchinson, and he was covered like a blanket. He was signaling his turn left on a post route. Like to me, like that comes into the equation too of right now, I just trust John Metchie to give me a route that's going to create the little bit of separation that CJ's going to need. I trust him a little bit more than I do Xavier Hutchinson at this point in time. So I like it. I'm stepping out there a little bit, Ron.
Text line jumps in. Hutch is soft in the run game. He's a Bama receiver. Let him do his thing. Metchie should be at least the 3rd wide receiver. To me, he could challenge Dale for the number 2. What? Wow.
I ain't there.
Crazy.
Not there yet. But hey,
crazy. Where we have flipped to that, you know, anybody would think that with what Tank Dell. And I'll be honest with you, Tank Dell has, he a bit deserves it.
My, how the turns tables.
I don't, no, I'm with you. I
turns tables.
There you go. I'm with you. I don't, where the hell is Kirby Joseph at? I don't agree with it. at all. I don't think we've arrived there yet. But Tank is like clearly like Tank is not the guy that we saw last year. Now I do think just like I believe that Bobby Slowick and I think that C.J. Stroud gets the understanding of the offensive line and things don't help him. But like his play, I don't agree with it. His play though is completely down from where it was last year, and like somebody would even make that fault. There would even a fault that you would make a John Mechie Tank Dell challenge for number two spot. We'll see. Like, I don't know. He did just have 100 yards the other day, so we'll see about that. All right, something that should make Texans fans really, really excited and happy because you're going to get what you need, not just what you want. Sometimes you don't always get what you want and you need. I think Texans fans will get both.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Both coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we continue coming up in just a bit. T-Mills Best Bets. Attack that at your own risk. Is Best Bets coming up?
Yeah, we need a disclaimer this week.
Yeah, he's itching close to that Florida State Seminole record here.
I mean, bro, you've got Montana, Troy, Dayton. What are we doing here?
I mean, I got a lot of top 25 action in there. There's just not a whole lot of top 25s playing each other tonight.
You're scaring me, man.
I like the Houston Lafayette.
We're going to have a couple interventions.
Yeah, we'll see.
Whenever it ain't working, you got to switch it up.
We'll see. We'll talk about it.
Did you oppo all your picks? Sorry, I'm sorry.
All right, 0 for 6 Monday, 1 for 5 last night. But at your own risk, make a little cash. Tyler, maybe you go opposite.
I can't believe he's bringing them both up, Tyler. Get out of the rearview mirror, man. Get in the windshield.
Well, I think you just have to be honest with the people here. Like, I'm not going to lie. I mean, he's 1-11.
This is the toughest streak I've been on in a minute.
Yeah.
Again, it's what you get for not letting me in. Let me guess, you're full tonight?
Well, I would imagine. I mean, he's...
Oh, yeah.
He's full. I mean, we got to get some wins. Take that down at that. All right.
Red number, I got to turn green.
That's coming up in here, coming up in just a bit. I got to say, I'm disappointed as hell. Really, to be honest, somewhat in both organizations, but mostly in the Cowboys, that we started... We saw this... We knew that the Texans were going to play the Cowboys. We saw this come out of the schedule. Week 10, Monday Night Football, we was busting through the seams. I mean, we were excited about this thing. And now this has no buzz or no juice, right? This is the team that the people in this city hate the most. I heard nothing about how much you hate the Cowboys. I didn't just heard how much and how pissed off you are at the Texans. That's what we've heard. But I think this is coming at the perfect time, fellas, because the Dallas Cowboys are the worst team that the Texans will play on this schedule. That includes the Patriots. They suck. They're worse than what Tyler's betting record is the first 2 days of the week.
Damn!
Can't get away from it, T.
Now, this Cooper Rush and this Trey Lance ensemble, I think Zach Martin wants to check out. I think there are a few other people who want out. I think CeeDee Lamb has got some vision thing that he'll check out on. I mean, this team is going to get destroyed by the Houston Texans. I think their defense may score a couple of times themselves. They've been that bad. If they could do what they did to Josh Allen and Jared Goff, the Lord knows there's not a running game for the Cowboys to turn to. Zeke Elliott's getting himself suspended 2 games ago and then fumbling in the red zone in a way we've not seen Zeke do last week. They're going to tear this team up. and it couldn't come at a better time, and it couldn't be a better team that the Texans would whoop their ass. And I feel like everybody who was so down and angry, as someone just literally texted in, have they fired Slowick yet? That just came through on the text line. I think everybody will be in a better space. Everybody will feel good. The traveling Texans are going to have a good time when they go up there. Everybody is going to be in a better place once they beat this team by multiple touchdowns, which I believe. I'll be disappointed if they don't beat them by at least two touchdowns. And I think that this feels like a 30-9 type of a ball game. 27-9 in the second half, their issues. They're going to score touchdowns in the second half this week. And everybody is going to feel better. We're going to go from people wanting to fire Bobby Slowick to Bobby Slowick being on a performance review. Like, they, I mean, everybody is going to feel better, I think, about this team. And it could come at a better time. Even though I'm disappointed there's not a lot of buzz in this thing, but after this week, the happiness will be back from Texans fans.
Well, I think you got to make a great point. I think as the week goes along, it's just Wednesday. I think as the week goes along, I would be shocked if Thursday, Friday, we don't get off this Bobby Slowick drama and get on to some Dallas Cowboy, Houston Texans convo. I think the tide will turn a bit. Now, I do not disagree with you that the pop. That this game, what I thought this game would without a doubt have, clearly is not nearly as powerful as I thought it would be. But I do think there is some deep rooted hate both directions that will come to the surface over the next couple of days, and definitely this weekend before that Monday night matchup. You look at this game and just take out the Dallas Houston matchup and the importance of that, Ron. The timing, like you said, how important this game is. The reality of it is the Texans, we still got to look at this season as if 9 is the magic number. Because you look at the Indianapolis Colts schedule, they would have to go 6-1 to get to 10 wins to beat you if you get to 9. I don't think that's happening. I do think there's a chance they can go 5-2. I do think there's a chance. Colts got a terrible ass schedule. I do think there's a chance that they can go 5-2, which will put them at 9-8. If you get to 9 wins,
you win it.
You win this thing. And we don't want to go. We don't want to bank on Baltimore. We don't want to bank on Detroit. We don't want to bank on Kansas City. It's going to come down to the 5 games, as I mentioned the other day: the Dolphins, the Cowboys, and then the division games you got left: Jacksonville once, and the Tennessee Titans twice. This is one of those games, if you go handle your business, to your point, Ron, if you are significantly better than this football
team.
They're
going to beat the hell out of them.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly that this is going to be a game, regardless of what's gone on. Texans have only won 3 of 4. I believe this is a game where the Texans go in, they handle their business, and Texans Nation is happier than hell. But the bigger picture is what I'm getting at. This is one of, I would say, 5 games where the Texans are going to be favored. The Texans are going to be, like, I would expect the Texans to win. I don't know. The Dolphins game, I think, is going to be a little bit hairy. The Texans may not be favored in that game.
Well, I think they'll be favored, but I think it'll be
you
hairy.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it'll be favored.
So this is one of those 5 games. Go handle your business. Let the Colts mess around and lose this week against the Jets. And then we're one step closer to locking up the division. You're one step closer to righten the ship here. That would literally be 2 back-to-back weeks where I think overall you played more really good football than poor football. And I think big picture for the rest of the season, this is a monster game as well. As if anybody needs that added incentive with this game being a Dallas-Houston matchup.
You got people who will be able to go to work and talk trash to these Cowboy fans or some of the fans in their family. Talk trash to them. It's going to be great. And it's going to feel better. I think the morale of the city is going to be raised after they beat the brakes off the Cowboys. I'm hoping to see them continue this amazing, amazing streak that the Cowboys are on, which is 5 consecutive games, home games, they found themselves down by 20-plus.
Oh, my.
5. 5 straight.
That's a lot of camera
never
shots
done
of Jerry up in,
never done
up in that up in that suite in a bad, bad spot.
I'm hoping to see that the Texans go to 6 in a row.
Weak ass Cowboys.
Yeah, this will make everybody feel better. I'm telling you, someone said there, Tommy said they will not get off of Fire Slug. No, because they'll be talking about CJ's back. Look at Nico. Nico's back, baby. Joe Mixon might get 200.
I'd be okay with
that. That run defense is god awful. If the game is close enough, he might, like, maybe 200 is aggressive, but very much like week one against the Colts.
Well, look, the reality of it, all I hope for, Ron, take the game plan that you played with Sunday night. And I know a lot of people are like, what the hell are you talking about? Trust me on this one. Take the game plan you brought in Sunday night, and you will beat the Cowboys by double digits. If we go in there and we're back to C.J. Stroud holding the ball, which is going to allow Micah Parsons to run all the stunts and pick and choose whichever pass rusher he wants to absolutely dominate, or pass protector he wants to dominate in this game, then we're going to have major problems. Then I'll be the leader of the Bobby Slowick needs to get right. I ain't calling for nobody's job. That ain't my get down. But I would absolutely be a problem. I would absolutely be the leader of the Bobby Slowick's hard-headed ass has got some issues. I have no problem with that. Yeah.
Coming up behind us, a little Texans All Access. Nick Caserio will be joining the fellas as soon as we get done, so stay tuned for that. And then, as you know, we are live in local Area 45. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, as they will take over at 8 o'clock, and they will run through until midnight. So stay tuned for that as we continue right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, Tyler, new day, new evening.
I need it to be.
You've completely switched sports here. He's going down the line, 0-6 with football, 1-6.
One for five,
with basketball last night. Now he's going to try college basketball. Go ahead. Here we go. What's the bets that people need to...
Yeah, it's been a rough one for best bets, 1-11 on the week, but I own it. That just means we're about to do a lot of winning. And like you said, switching it up tonight, got to change the juju up a little bit here. So I'm betting all college hoops for today's best bets. I got five more for you. Fingers crossed. This comes with a disclaimer, but I got five for you. First, I got the Dayton Flyers -16.5.
You think he's got a Dayton Flyer?
Hell no.
Not one of them.
Then I got Cal. I do have a system, though. These aren't just blind picks. Cal +8 tonight.
They look like it.
I got U of H Cougs. They're facing off against the powerhouse that is Louisiana Lafayette. I'm on the under 137 for the Cougs game tonight. Then Montana, Tennessee, over for that one, over 141. And then one more under as Clint Sterner's Arkansas Razorbacks face off against Troy. I'm on under 153 for that tonight. If you need to look back at them, they are posted on my Twitter at T-Mill Real Deal.
Look, going local here, I really like the Houston one. I think Louisiana Lafayette, they may not. I don't think they're going to crack 40 tonight. I think they're going to be in the 30s tonight. I think U of H is...
No,
I don't. That defense is nasty. They just lost to Auburn. I think they're going to handcuff these boys tonight. That's
win some money on some college hoops.
Now you never know. They might go Brick City themselves, but still win by 15.
I wish Tyler had room, man.
I know you. Troy, Arkansas, too.
I don't even feel bad this time, Dirty. I got to make up some of this.
That young freshman.
Yeah, you got your own. You got your own set of problems, man. You don't worry about me.
The young freshman. I like him a lot. All right. Remember, Nick Caserio coming up behind us. Area 45. After that. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to Brandon Scott who joined us. I'm Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
A lovely day. My wife been on your heart? What the hell are you talking about? No. See, look.
She ain't showing that to her husband.
Let me handle this.
She ain't showing that.
I mean, something along the lines of like, hey, you still got that cricket phone?
Feeling emotions like that. This is what makes
us human. Dealing with that cricket phone
system? Try that. I'm open for business.
It's on Ron's heart.
It's on my heart.
You've been on Ron's heart.
And I could be on your heart, and you can be on my heart through my words at any moment, and I could take 30 seconds to 60. Jim Nance been on your heart, Ron? No, Jim Nance can kiss my ass. That's too... Listen, I'm nasty. The ball's in your court.
Is that my boy Ron? This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.